Well, you know, before I call up Brother Carl, I just want to share something that happened to me just Friday night. You know, Johnny had asked me to move a piece of exercise equipment that she has in the living room. And, you know, on this equipment, there's this bar, right, that is attached to it, but actually it's not secured. So I thought, you know, I could just lift it up and just kind of reel it right to where I wanted to go. But guess what? It's not securely attached. So I lifted it up, right, about maybe about so high, and I was going like this, and suddenly the bar just came off like that. And guess where it landed? Right on my toe. I mean, this metal part, boom! And, you know, at first I jumped back. I go, I'm thinking, what happened? And I'm thinking, okay, it's not so bad. But you know how it is, right? There's a delayed reaction because your nerves, you know, they start to get really bad until, you know, when you realize, man, there's some damage down there, you know? And I'm going, And then Johnny heard me, and she ran to me and go, what's wrong? And I go, I just dropped your machine on my toe. And I was just going like this, jumping up and down. And you know how the pain just intensifies, you know, as seconds pass. And I'm going, and she's like, do we need to go to emergency? I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm just in pain. And so she kind of calmed me down, and I sat down on the couch, right? And, you know, oh, man, I just felt the pain just surging. I just felt, you know, that pulsating feeling that you get, and it's so painful. And I started to bite my finger because it was so painful. You know what I'm talking about, right? And then, you know, Johnny, she got some Chinese medicine, and she started putting it on there, and I was still in pain. And then, you know, as the pain was starting to intensify even more, I was thinking every scripture that I could think of, you know, to go to God and say, Lord, it's yours. And, you know, the first verse that came to mind was, you know, where David, you know, he's suffering and he's being tormented, and he goes to God and says, in my pain, in my distress, Lord, I go to you and you are with me. And I just started, you know, saying the things that David would say, you know, and I said, Lord, it is yours. I'm in the pain, Lord, I give it to you. And guess what? The pain is still there. I'm like, Lord, the pain, Lord. And so then I started thinking of another verse, and I started thinking about Paul. You know, remember the thorn in his flesh? And he asked God to take away that pain, that thorn. And remember what God told him? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. So, okay, your grace is sufficient, Lord. But the pain is still there, Lord. So, you know, this is true. I know, this is what's happening in my mind, you know? Okay, another verse. Oh, Revelation 21. And he says, in that day where you stand before the Lord, there'll be no more pain. No more sorrow, no more suffering. So, okay, no more pain, no more suffering. But in that day where I stand before the Lord, and I'm still here on this planet Earth, and my toe is still throbbing. And then I just heard God's voice. I remember we just talked about this on Wednesday, and it says, those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. And then the Lord said, wait. Is just trust in me, I am here, man. And you know, even though I was looking at my foot, it was, Johnny said it was turning purple. it was getting so swollen, and it was like not the kind of color that you want your foot to be. And I started looking at it, going, but she kept on putting the medicine. We're just praying, and I could barely walk. I'm thinking, I don't know if I can go to the park tomorrow. And I said, maybe you gave me a crutch. And I'm thinking about this already. But I knew it was so, when I tried to walk, I would be like intense pain every time I put just a little weight on it. But you know what? We just said, Lord, we give it to you. And I remember the next morning, true story, I got up. I got out of bed. I went to brush my teeth. I went to, you know, get ready for the day. And I'm just thinking, something happened last night. Wait, yeah, I dropped something on my toe. All the pain was gone. I didn't even think about it. All the swelling was gone. And I tell you, it looks like, I mean, you still see a cut. But all the swelling is healed. And I just started praising God. And what else can you do but praise God? And you realize that's what God will do. Sometimes in the pain and the suffering, we want immediate relief. We want the Lord just to take it away. But God says, just wait on me, child. Don't you know I'm always with you? And you know, when we choose to live a life that is holy and pure unto the Lord, He takes care of you. He says, your life is right with me. I will show you who I am. I'll be the one to take care of you, protect you, watch over you, and even nurse you if you trust in me. And that's what it's all about, realizing how real the power and presence of God is. And today, Brother Carl, he'll share a message that will truly touch your heart. And I got to tell you, we talked, you know, before he gave the message. And I tell you, it's really powerful because he gave it yesterday. And it's one of those messages that, I got to tell you, for some people, they're going to go, oh, why you got to talk about this kind of stuff, you know? But hey, we're all in this together. Amen? We're here so that we can support one another. We pray for each other so that we truly can be transformed in the image of Christ. And I want you to really just pay attention to what Brother Carl will speak today, because I know he put a lot of heart. His heart was laid on the line. He said, Lord, show me. And I know the Lord is speaking through him. I'm going to ask Brother Carl to come on up. Why don't we stretch a hand towards our brother? Let's pray for our brother. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for my brother Carl. I know truly he has a heart that loves you so much, a heart that is fully surrendered to you. And I just pray right now, Father, as he speaks your word, he will speak it mightily. And whatever we need to receive, I pray your Holy Spirit will convict us right now that we're going to take in your words and we're going to experience the abundant life that you promised. I pray, Lord, that we're not going to feel condemned in any way as he speaks your word. We're going to feel the conviction. We're going to experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If we truly have to change our ways or do some major changes in our life, Father, so be it. Help us, guide us, speak to us, so that we know we can become more and more like Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for my brother anointing abundantly, overly, with your presence and power as he speaks your word right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Welcome, my brother Carl.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Open Door Christian Ministries. But you know, it's so fitting what Jimmy had talked about being in the wilderness. You know, in this world, we all look around. We're in a wilderness out here. But before us, we have God has given us some tests in that wilderness. And these tests are 10 character tests that he has for us. And now, I really believe that these tests that he has for us, these character tests, they work together with the gifts that God has given us. And what they do is these tests will make us good stewards of the gifts that he gives us. And when you look at it, they fit together in a way. And today is no difference. Today is the purity test. And, you know, we're going to study about some vital truths about these 10 tests and what puts us on the road of the destiny that God has for us. Again, there are 10 character tests that we need to fulfill to move on to the destiny that God has for our lives. You know, I was thinking in the rare moments that I do, and I remember in high school, in the rare moments that I do, that based upon the subject that we were studying, that sometimes the teacher would give us a surprise test. And this test was based upon if we were getting the subject that she was being taught, yeah? And it wasn't a test to see if we fail or if we pass, but just to see where we were at, you know, and if we were getting the subject that was being taught at the time, to see our weaknesses as well as our strengths. And, you know, it's also when we go to the mall, you want to know, you go to that thing where they have, where you want to go get to the store. And when you look at the map, where does it say? You see that little star, and it tells you, you are here. It doesn't tell you where, how, or where to get to the store, but it shows you where you're at. And sometimes I feel that God does the same, I believe. He'll give us tests to, along the way to shape our character, to see if we are understanding His subject, His Word, to get us to where we need to be in the destiny that He has for all of our lives. But again, today is the purity test. And, you know, doing this, you know, I prepared myself not to to hear too many amens today because, you know, it's a rough subject, you know. But, you know, because the subject of sexuality makes us feel uncomfortable. After all, we live in a society that appears to be absolutely saturated with sex. But in the recent, but in most recent past of our country endured a scandal involving immorality at its highest level elected office. Yeah? Some people were genuinely appalled by it. But the majority, however, they couldn't care less. And you know, this was a very sad chapter in our country's history. But the widely held ideal in this was that the president's private behavior had nothing to do with the leadership of our country. But, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, and whatever your political views are, you must understand that there are certain truths that will never change. And God has spelled them out, these truths, quite clearly for us in the Bible. So the purity test is about sexual stewardship. A person who will cheat on his or her spouse will also cheat with his employer, will cheat on his country. And, you know, these aren't my words. In fact, in Luke 16:10, it's not in your notes, it says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. But whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." You see, it's just as every other gift that God gives us, we have a responsibility to steward that gift that is pleasing, in a way that is pleasing to Him. So God is watching to see if we will be faithful stewards also in this area of our lives. You see, character is a foundational issue. If the character goes, the rest of the house goes, meaning your family. If the foundation is bad, everything else will be bad. In God's kingdom, character has everything to do with the fitness for leadership. It is so important for us to understand that if we allow any compromise in this area, we are putting our God-given destiny at risk. But if we've fallen in this area and we sincerely repent of from our hearts before God, He will forgive us and He will restore us. But if we persist in immorality, we will not step into our destiny. Why? Because God is looking for faithful stewards whom He can trust wholeheartedly. But, you know, each one of us have to face this critical test on a daily basis. We can all draw inspiration from the story of Joseph, where we're getting this from. When faced with great temptation, Joseph passed the test with flying colors. And the reason why Joseph passed with flying colors is very simple. When he was tempted, when temptation came too great for him, he didn't just walk away, he ran. So, in 1 Corinthians 6:18 it says, to flee sexual immorality. Now, in the Greek, the literal meaning of the word flee means to run away. So God doesn't say that we should just walk away from immorality. He says that we should run from it. And that's exactly what Joseph did. So it was like the movie, Run, Joseph, Run, Run. He ran away. You know, so, and also that, you know, Joseph called immorality a great wickedness and a sin against God. Joseph ran away from temptation because he understood something that, unfortunately, our society has seemed to have to forgotten, that sexual immorality is evil and sinful. Joseph also understood that sexual immorality would be a wrong done against God, and that it would harm his relationship with the Lord. So Joseph ran. So we got a couple questions here that we can ask. Could Joseph steward his own body? Could he steward his own appetites and desires? Would Joseph serve God faithfully in this area of his life? So, you know, these are very important questions that each one of us will have to face. This is the first area in which we must learn to discipline ourselves. Because if we cannot bring our own bodies under control, how will we be faithful in any other area? The Apostle Paul also understood this in 1 Corinthians 9:27, and he says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. See, if we don't want to be disqualified from our God-given destiny, we must learn to keep our physical bodies under control, and not only in the area of food, but we must bring our sexual appetite under control as well. Remember, the path of obedience is always the path of God's blessings. The path of obedience is always the path of God's promotion, His pushing forward and all the things that we do. So if we want to fulfill His dream for our lives, we are going to have to bring this era under God's control. So let's look at your notes and let's read Genesis 39:7-12. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. Notice these words, longing eyes. And she said, lie with me. But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? See, notice what Joseph calls sexual immorality, and sin against God. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, see how the enemy attacks her? Yeah. And he did not heed to her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in his hand and fled and ran outside. Joseph is always losing his clothes. I'm sure there's a reason. But. Well, I'm going to show you that sexual impurity will affect a person's life. I'll give you some very practical keys to be able to overcome and pass this most important test. So the number one key is impurity affects your family. In 2 Samuel 11, we see that it describes how King David fell into adultery with Bathsheba. But by chapter 13, we are reading about how his children began to commit gross immorality. You know, I believe that David had a chance to stop sin in his children. But you know what? David never seen it coming. And the reason for that is because of the weakness that was in his own life. You know, so don't let anyone deceive you. Immorality in your life will have a negative impact on the lives of your children. You know, there is an important difference here between sin and iniquity. Sin is the outward movement, and iniquity is the inward motivation. Sin is the action. Iniquity is the attitude. Sin is in the hand, and iniquity is in the heart. So to pass this test, we must deal with the inward motivation. You see, the more I'm learning, God always deals with the root cause. He talks a lot about the root. And God always wants us to get to the root of our problems. Yeah. So the word sin means here to trespass, to transgress, or to pass over the line. Sin is going where you are not supposed to go, or stepping over that boundary line that you are not supposed to cross. That is transgression, and that what sin is. But the heart attitude behind the action is iniquity. For example, adultery is sin, but lust is iniquity. Adultery is an outward movement, but lust is the inward motivation. You know, a lot of people believe that as long as I don't transgress or pass that boundary line, I'm okay. It won't affect my family. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, in Exodus 34:67, there's a passage that says that the sins of the father are you know, well, it doesn't say that the sins of the fathers are passed on to the children, though it's frequently quoted that way, but rather it speaks of the iniquity that is passed on to the children. And, you know, in that same verse, it talks about God saying, I will revisit the iniquities of your father. And what he means by that in the Hebrew, the visit, he said he'll see it again in your children. As what he visited in the fathers, he'll visit it, he'll see it again in your children. But, you know, because rather than, but if it's in, see, because iniquity is in your heart, it will affect your family. And you know, the world has a saying out there that says that what one generation does in moderation, the next generation does in excess. And that's because if it's in the heart of one generation, it's in the hand of the next generation. You know, and when you look in your notes, you can write this down, you can put it, fill it in. It says, iniquity is an inward motivation towards sin. And transgression is an outward movement or action. No, but I just want to be clear in this, that if it's in your heart, it will affect your family. So don't let sin in your heart. And look, the Bible is so perfect how it puts everything together, how it just brings this great news no matter what we're going through. And, you know, this was a prophecy of Jesus. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions and outward bleeding. He was bruised for our iniquities, and bruises are inward bleeding. Yeah? And it goes on further to say that the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross had paid for both of these, iniquity as well as transgression. So key number two. Impurity affects your faith. Impurity affects your faith. It affects your walk with God, not just with others. So, you know, a lot of young people out here, couples, they believe that, well, if we love each other and we're going to get married, anyway, what does a piece of paper mean? And guess what? It makes no difference in the world. But you see, what's going on here is that the enemy is trying to make your focus on the piece of paper, the marriage license. He's trying to take you away from the focus of God's blessings on your marriage. Yeah? So let's read James 1:14-16. And it says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. When God tells us not to do something, he's not doing it because he wants to take fun away from us, or that he's just a prude, or he's just old grumpy old man, or whatever it may be. He does it because he doesn't want our lives to be destroyed. When we tell our, it's just like when we tell our children not to play in the street. You know, it's not that we don't want them to have fun, right? It's because we want to save their lives. We want to protect them. We want them to have fun. But we want them to live long enough to have that fun. You know, so when God says to flee sexual immorality, there's a reason. And that reason is that all sexual immorality will open the door to a multitude of sins. One of them is deception. Another one is manipulation. You lie. You know, when you open these, and these are just some of the doors that will be open. You see, David himself, when he was sexually immoral, had to commit murder to cover up what he did. So when you have premarital sex, you learn to lie and be deceptive, which affects your relationship with God. So the next key is impurity will affect your future. You know, I was thinking about it, and I was saying to myself, here was probably Satan telling Joseph, you know what, you're a slave. You've been sold as a slave, and all your dreams that you dreamed about aren't coming true. And God will never be able to use you because your brothers ruined God's plan for your life. You know, and I just want to make a statement here that Satan cannot stop God's plan for you. There's only one person that can do that, and that person is you. You're the only one. You're the only one that can stop God's plan doing what He plans for you. If you make the wrong choices, and if Joseph had made that wrong choice, it would have stopped God's plan also on his life. But now, I'm not saying that if you have fallen and that you'll never be able to fulfill God's destiny on your life. What you do need to be is open and transparent in your life so that God can deal with you in a biblical and scriptural way. Allow Him, and you allow Him to do that. So please understand that God wants to restore you. He wants you to walk in your destiny. So you might be saying, so what's the answer? Because I know I asked myself that. You know, and I know that God will take the most complex things and make them simple, especially for me. Because he asked me, that's the only way I can understand. But you know, I know that, and God does that. So where is impurity begins, you know, some people say, well, impurity starts in the heart. But actually, when you look at key number four, I have here that impurity begins in the eyes. Remember those two words? Back in Genesis 39:7, it says his master's wife cast what? Longing eyes on him. You know why? Because she had lust in her heart. Because she looked. That's right. Yeah, Joseph was a handsome person. And the, you know, actually I was going to name this key here, don't look. But you know, I'm telling you, because if you look, you lust, and you have to look to lust. So you know, let's read Matthew 5:28. You know, Jesus is totally gonna back this up. Yeah, Jesus makes it so clear. It says in Matthew 5:28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." See, in this scripture, it just blows away how the Pharisees felt, because they felt if they didn't transgress, it's not sin. You know, if they didn't transgress or pass over that line. But Jesus said, if it's in your heart, it's sin. And if it's in your heart, you have already done it. You see, when you look at the scripture, Jesus gives us a progression here. It says to look, to lust, to adultery. So if you don't want to commit adultery, don't let lust stay in your heart. And if you don't want lust in your heart, don't look. It's just that simple. If you're struggling in this area, don't look. You see, brothers and sisters, we all need to receive Jesus' victory for our lives in this area. If there is a, you know, if you're struggling and there's a woman jogging down the road, simply don't look. Just don't look. Yeah, whatever you have to do, don't look. If it's gonna stay there, don't look. You know, and you know, if you see a woman dressed inappropriately, don't look. Just don't look. Your first thought should come to mind is, you know, I'm not gonna look at this. You know why? And if you know, don't go to movies that have nakedness inside, or don't go to men. You know, don't go to inappropriate sites on the internet. You know, and look what Psalms 101 says, verse 3, it says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. You see, David's sin of adultery began when he wandered out to the roof and he saw Bathsheba bathing. How long did he look? How long was he up there to stir this up in him? You see, David could have ran inside the house. He could have run away and went to God for help. He could have cried out to God. But instead, he continued to look, and lust was stirred up. And now, what I mean by stirred up is, you know, we have a lot of things in our lives that, you know, I have a barbecue set at home. You know, but if I go to the store and I see this nice new automated chrome grill with all the works and all the bells and whistles, you know, and I just keep on thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, that's so nice. It would look so good in our patio area. I'm like, oh, could you imagine? And I start justifying. And, oh, you know how much I could cook, and we could have the biggest parties. And so I'm thinking, and I'll go find my wife, and I say, oh, you got to come and look at this grill. You see, what I'm doing is I'm stirring up myself. And evidently, that grill is going to be in my home. Because I keep on looking at it, I'm stirring up. And you know what, ladies? The same goes with bags and shoes. You know, when you go to the store and you look at that shoe, you go, oh, it looks so nice on my feet. You know, that maybe it'll go drop down in price next week. I'll come back next week. So what's happening here? It's in your mind the whole week, and you're just getting stirred. And that's what's going to happen. Sooner or later, that shoe or that bag is going to be in that closet. Because you're stirring, you're looking. Looking is stirring it up. You know, a lot of people say, well, what's wrong with looking at beauty? You know what, brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong with looking at beauty. God made beautiful things for our eyes. But you know what, when we get carried away, when we get stirred up, then that's where it all causes problems. That's why I'm saying, if you get, excuse me, when you get stirred up, you need to look away. If you have a problem with being stirred up, you need to look away. Does an alcoholic, when you look at an alcoholic, can he go walk into the bar? Would it not be a good idea? Can he smell alcohol? Would not be a good idea. Why? Because he's getting stirred up. So what does the alcohol have to do? He has to stay away. You see, and that's the same thing. That's why I'm hitting so much on don't look. You see, because what we need to be is accountable in this area of our life. And men, especially men, you need to confess this with your wife because of two words: struggle together. And the same goes for young children. If you're being egged on in school or wherever it may be, or by friends and stuff, you know what? Struggle with your parents. Let your parents know. Struggle with them. Struggle with your family. That's what it's about, all about. And ladies, please hear me in this. Will you not condemn him when he admits it to you if he has this problem? Will you not feel insecure? Please, if he says, I have a problem with lust, he's not having a problem with love. He has a problem with lust. And lust is not love. You see, Potiphar's wife never loved Joseph. If she did, she would not have let Joseph sit in the prison for 13 years. She didn't love him. So what I'm saying is struggle together. You know, Pastor Ben had talked about last week about having an appetite for God and how to achieve it. And you know what? Lust is the appetite of the flesh. And God never intended us to have this. Lust is the most selfish sin there is. Lust does not want gratification for anyone but itself. Lust doesn't care whether the spouse or the kids get hurt. If you allow lust in, it will take over. So let's read what Proverbs 27:20. And so, you know, when you look at it, it's probably King Solomon wrote this. And how many wives did King Solomon have? You see, he had a problem with his eyes. So when you read this here, we know, we can kind of see what he knows what he's talking about. And in Proverbs 27:20, it says, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the human wives. I mean, eyes. I was thinking about it. Yeah, like, how many wives?
A thousand
wives. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, they're all there together. When a man says that he's struggling in this area, he's not saying that he doesn't love you. He's saying, I have an unhealthy appetite that I should have never developed, and that he's struggling. You know, and I was looking at the internet site, and I was looking at percentages and stuff like that, and they were talking about some things. You know, men and women were made so differently. You know, when we're talking about this subject here, you know, about sexuality, you know, men rate it on a scale of 1 to 2, importance of 1 to 3 in their lives, you know, and women make it like they put it at number 13 in their lives. Number 12 was gardening. So you see, there's a big difference behind that. And, you know, I know this isn't a good analogy, but, you know, for men, you know, when a woman says, you know what, I haven't had sugar for such a long time, you know, oh, if I could just have one Krispy Kreme, just one, you know, just one dozen, I would be so happy. You see, a man doesn't see that in a way that a woman does. You know, he doesn't say, you know, oh, look, she only wants sugar. She loves only sugar. She doesn't love me. You see, a man isn't built that way. But when a woman sees lust, you know, don't feel that he doesn't love you no more. It's not a problem with love. It's a problem with lust. And I know that's not a good analogy, but that's just a thinking of man. You know, so we're made so different, you know, in that way. But ladies, if your husband has a problem in this era, the first person he should come to is always you. That you should see, and what you should see in your husband is his desire to serve God, get it right, and to bring you into his struggles. And men, I want you to hear this clearly on this. She can probably forgive the lust, but it's very difficult to forgive the lying. In couples, the number one thing that pastors have to deal with in regard to immorality is not the immorality itself, it's the deception. And why is that? Because Satan works in darkness. So if we have a difficult time in this area of our lives, don't work in darkness. We need to bring it to the light. We need to learn how to overcome this. We need to bring it to the light every chance that we get. You know, let your wife know if you're struggling in this era so that she can pray for you. You know, and, you know, or if you're struggling in this era and you're single, go to the pastors or go to the leaders. Bring this to the light. You know, bring this to the light of Jesus. You know, and ladies, if you make that and you go pray for him, you know, if you see him fall short or whatever it may be, you know, don't go up here and pinch him and go, do I need to pray for you? and whatever you do, if you pinch, don't twist. You know, I believe it's one of the commandments, where is it? No, but, you know, if you need to pinch, thou shalt not twist, you know. So it hurts, especially back here. Don't, pray for you. But, you know, right now, you know, when you look in your notes in Matthew 6:22-23, it says, you know, this is so good what it says here. It says, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. And you know, you also can read in your notes, Job 31:1, it says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. You know, I know that today this is a heavy subject, but you know what, it's a test. And like every other test that we get when we look at school, and you know, from what kids used to tell me, is that some subjects you're really good at. You know, you pass your flying colors, but some you're going to struggle in. And, you know, but the thing is, we struggle together. You know, it's good to struggle. It's the very thing that God wants us to do to change our character. So, you know what, brothers and sisters, let's not give up in this area. So you might be saying, so what is the answer to overcome the temptations that surround us in this wilderness? You know, how can we pass this test of purity on a continuing basis and be counted faithful to walk in our destiny? So we can see this answer by looking once again at how Joseph passed his test. You know, the Bible says that Potiphar's wife spoke to Joseph, what? Day by day. And then that's in Genesis 39:10. So Joseph had to deal with this temptation on a daily basis. You know, but when temptation came too great for him, Joseph took off running. The reason he had strength to run away is that he had not allowed lust a place in his heart. And he allowed God a place in his heart. So each and every day, Joseph had to learn the secret of walking with God day by day. And like Joseph, we must also deal with those temptations by trusting God day by day. You see, the enemy doesn't take a day off from attacking us. He doesn't. He will set temptations before us day by day. So you can't take a day off either. You know, you have to rely on God day by day. Day by day, you need to pray. Day by day, you have to fill your mind with the Word of God. Day by day, you must choose not to look. Day by day, you must trust in God to help you. See, the secret to victory in this area of purity is simply trusting in God every single day. He will give you the ability for this every single day. But you know what? If you messed up and you're in bondage in this era, you know, God is your answer. He will help you day by day. Often people feel shame that they don't want to confess this before God. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He already knows. He knows already. Jesus Christ had already paid that price to set you free. Satan is the one who doesn't want you to confess this sin. Because when you bring that sin out to the light, you immediately take away Satan's power. Disobedience in this area of purity will delay you on the road to your destiny. You know, it's critical that you bring these matters before God and allow Him to work in your life. I want you to know that there is hope. And our God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. He gave us His only Son to make a way for you, to forgive you and set you free. Repent and turn away from the sin. Run away. Just run. He will forgive you and He will restore you. Turn to God in transparency and humility. You know, and maybe on the other hand, maybe you're not struggling in this era right now. Perhaps you trust God every single day and you run away from immorality and you look away from temptation. And you know what? You ought to give God praise for that, and you ought to thank Him for His grace and His redeeming power in your life. But still, there is wisdom in the words of Paul, and he shares it for us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, and it says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." You know, today Pastor Ben will pray for you and I, and I want you to just close your eyes and spend a moment with God. Because I know this is a very big step, and I just wonder who is ready to confess that they may have this problem, you know, in the areas of their life. You know, if you do, just raise your hand, you know, bring it right back down. You know, you don't have to leave it off. Just let God do that work in your life. Bring it before the light, you know, of our God. Otherwise, it will derail you. It will derail your life, you know. Pastor Ben will pray for you. And I don't think, you know, I know a lot of people go, if I raise my hand, everybody is going to know what it is. You know what? Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let him lie to you. If you need prayer in this era, don't let that stop you. You know, we live in a society that will constantly tempt us to compromise to sin. But you know, we must take heed to pass the purity test. We must lean on Him every day for the grace to walk in purity before Him. It's only then will we be able to walk in the fullness and the destiny that God has for all of our lives. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
And we realize, yeah, that as human beings,
you can find many ways to sin, right? But, you know, lust is something that can truly destroy our lives if we just let it continue on, especially in the case of sexual immorality, because a lot of times people say, oh, but the whole world does it, it's okay, you know? But we realize we're called to be set apart for God. And we realize we got to choose a life that is holy and pure unto God. And we can't do it ourselves. You got to understand that it's only through the power and grace of God that we can accomplish this, that we can truly become more like Jesus. Because He loves us, He will help us. But we must cry out to Him. We must look to His Holy Spirit for power. And you know, James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And you kind of realize from that scripture, you know what? We can be healed from sin. Because a lot of times people think, oh, you're healed from a disease or sickness or whatever. But we're talking about sin. Something that you're doing that you know is displeasing God. God says, I can heal you of that. And we realize that as we go to each other, I know brother, he says to go to your wife, and we do that. If it's a case where you're a guy and you know you're struggling with lust, yeah, you got to go to your wife, but go to it in a way that it's very loving, very tender, and you show her that you're struggling with this. But you know what? We can go to each other too. And we go to brothers, and we, you know, if you're a woman, you go to your sisters in Christ, and you just pour out your heart. You let them know this is a struggle. A struggle that you are facing, and you don't want it in your life. And we must realize that God is the one that will bring forth the healing. Just the very fact that you're confessing it to a brother or sister doesn't mean that right there you're healed. No, if you go to a brother and sister that is very sensitive to the things of God, you know, that brother or sister should pray for you right there and then. And as you go to God together, that's where the healing will come forth, because God from heaven will hear this sincere prayer, and He will bring forth the healing. He will give you strength. He will show you how not to stay entrapped by the devil. He will set you free. And the Bible clearly tells us, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. He will set you free. And you're no longer bound. And I just want to bring up one thing. I got to tell you, I remember years ago, I remember I was in a men's group. And this is like, I was only a Christian for like maybe a couple years or several years. And I went to this men's group, and this brother, he just started crying. He just saying, you know, this is a struggle for me. You know, he's involved in pornography and all that stuff. And he says, I know I belong to God, but I'm struggling. And he kept on sharing this with the brothers. And you know, we kind of, you know, put our hands on him, and we prayed for him. And we said, you know, God's going to give you strength. We're there, and we're going to see to it that you're going to get the victory, because God will bring forth the victory. And here's the thing, though. After he left, right, the brothers, some of them, started to make comments and say, yeah, I knew that guy was always a pervert. And I go, remember, I'm kind of new at this Christian thing. And I'm thinking, man, I'm never going to share any of my personal struggles with any of these guys. And we realize, when we go to each other, just be sensitive to each other. If a brother or sister is struggling with something, they confess it to you, make sure, first of all, it stays within that group. Okay? It has to be a point where we can trust one another. Don't make it such like, okay, it's the news of the day. Don't do that. We pray for the brother or the sister, and we make sure that, you know, we're going to see to it that God's going to bring the victory. And we know that God will. Because we're saying, Lord, we surrender. Lord, we need your help. And we got to be careful of these things. Amen? And we got to be sensitive to each other, sensitive to the very things that we know that will bring forth the victory if we just remember that it's God that will do it. And we love the brother and love the sister to that point. We're going to help them see it through. Amen? That we're going to make sure that we're going to pray for them. We're going to support them in any way we can. So right now, what I want you to do, I want you to just bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. Let's come before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you with our whole hearts. Lord, we know to live in today's world, a lot of people say, yeah, it's tough, it's hard. There's so much exposure to all these sexual images and all these things on the internet, on the TV, in the media. It never stops. But we know, Father, you are greater. Father, we know we can only attain victory through your power and through your presence. It's through what you give us that we are ensured victory. And I just pray right now, Father, if any of my brothers or sisters are struggling with lust, that today is the day that you will set them free. I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, we come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. Through the power and the blood of our Lord, God, and King, we know we've been set free. And right now, with our heads bowed, I want every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you know this is a struggle for you, it's time to just give it over to God. And if you're saying, yeah, Pastor Ben, I have struggled with lust, but I'm surrendering it to God. And I want to be set free. Can you raise your hand right now so I can pray for you? Oh, praise God. Anyone else? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, please put your hands down. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But more important is the hearts behind those very hands saying, Lord, I need your help. I want to be holy and pure unto you, but I'm struggling. Father, right now, will you just let your holy presence just fill this entire room right now, Father. Fill. Father, fill. Fill, Father. Let your Holy Spirit's presence just fill this entire room. Let it fill the entire lives of every brother and sister in this room. Father, let your sweet presence just come and overflow right into our hearts, right into our souls, because we're crying out to you. Your Bible, the scripture, tells us the righteous shall cry out to God, and he shall deliver them from all of their problems, all of their struggles. Father, come and deliver us now, Lord. Deliver us from our sins. Deliver us from all our temptations. Father, only you can bring forth the victory. Father, right now I pray that your strength will come, that my brothers and sisters will no longer rely on their own strength, but they will rely on the strength that comes straight from heaven, right into us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that victory. The victory that only you can bring. Father, I just pray right now, will you surround us with your holy warrior angels and ministering angels as we step out into the world. Father, we pray, Lord, that your angels will protect us, watch over us, will make sure that the evil one will not get close. That we're going to embrace your voice only, Lord, the very voice that brings forth the abundant life that you promised us. Father, we keep our heads up high, knowing, Lord, you have brought the victory. And we come with hearts fully surrendered to you. As we submit ourselves to you, the devil has to go. He has to flee. He has no choice. He has to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, as we are filled with your glorious presence, we're going to experience you more and more each day, more powerfully. We're going to experience your love that is overflowing in our lives. Father God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come straight from within your heart, deep in your soul. You must be saying, God, I surrender. I'm not going to continue to live life like how I want it. I'm going to surrender it to you. I want to live according to your word. I want to live according to your promises. And right now, you're saying, Father, I want to say yes to your son, Jesus Christ. I want to give him my life. I want you to have your way in my life. And if you know there's a tugging at your heart, you feel something just pulling your heart right now, know that's the Holy Spirit of God. He's speaking to you because he loves you so much. And if he's drawing you to God, the very one that can bring forth abundance of blessings in your life, don't resist. The Bible says, if you deny the Father, he will also deny you. But if you receive him today, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you will experience life, the very life that God promises for you. And if you know, you're saying, yes, Lord, I surrender. Yes, Lord, I give my life to you. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Yes, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand up high. Say, yes, Lord, I give you my life. You can have it, Lord. Have your way. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Oh, praise Jesus. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Remember, don't let it just be mere words, because mere words will not get you saved. It's what you're expressing from deep within your heart, deep within your souls. You're crying out to God. And as you say these words, I'll really show it, really mean it. And God, he hears you. He knows your heart. He will come in and he will show himself strong in your life. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. I am property of Jesus Christ. Father, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray all these things. And everyone says, Amen. Amen.